earlier on page Zion on the bottom, unless
you have it on page Zion on the bottom. Okay, I'm sorry. Aletira, okay, Beseda. I don't know. I had a marker there. Not sure why it was there, but
you want to remember that I marked it wrong.
I don't know. I'm what? Okay, I trust you because I have markers from different times here. So I thought, okay, said no problem. Okay, so he speaks over here about the necessity to speak dafke in Meshalem, and things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave were only in Chachma is given in Meshalem. Halei Tira. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu want to give us Torah to be misakin us. In order to have that, you must have logical understandings. Rational is a better word than that. And that's only possible with Chochma Loikis, which means the Chochma of theology, let's call it. And that only happens once you know the natural laws and so on. Chochma Sateva is contiguous with Chochma Saleikus. And must come before. So let's talk about this a little bit. In the Rambam's understanding, when a person thinks from the bottom up, so the first thing is I must have the understanding of the basic blocks of the world. Then I must understand it's the principles behind that. I must then understand about a Ribbono Shelom. In other words, where those principles and that philosophy leads to Ribbono Shelom, which leads us to a Torah, to a higher type of lifestyle. In other words, when you're talking from the world of Seichel and Das, that's how it works. So if a person doesn't have the ability to think logically, then whatever he puts on top of it is worthless. So philosophy in the sense of a structured way of categorizing things and understanding what's part of what, and what belongs to where, all of those in Yanim are going to be, everything after that is going to be just a mess. Because if you don't know how to think structurally, then even things that you think about Ribbono Shel'olam is going to be a mishmash of stuff, not understanding what's first, what's second, what's third, and so on. In his way, in a very, very different way, but the Ramchal makes a big deal of it, that his Sfarim are there, the Derech Hashem, to give structure to ideas that you may have heard each and every idea, but the structure is really the basis for understanding things. So he says, so understanding everything until one gets to Torah is a step-by-step progression, and therefore you must start at the bottom and work your way up. And therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu started with Ma'aseh Breishis. And like we explained before, in the Rambam's world, like in Aristotle, they were not separate, unrelated disciplines. Today, we understand chemistry and physical sciences to be very different than philosophy, and no shaykh is one to the other. The Rambam, the philosophy is the ideas behind the Teva, and the theology is what, you know, is on top of the philosophy. So he says, Kadosh Baruch Hu started Ma'aseh Breishis, Asher Chochma Sateva Kashbarnu, Lo'oitzim Ha'inyan V'yikrosei, V'yoyisi Choltenu K'tzari Ma'aseh Gaitzen K'fi Ma'ashahim. So, and being that Ma'aseh Breishis is something that is incredibly deep, so all those things that Kadosh Baruch Hu told us he told us b'mishalom v'chidois of dorim stumoid in a very, very obscure way. We look at the psukim, we really have no idea what they're talking about. K'moy sha'amur chazal lehagid koach ma'isa b'reishis l'basa dami efsha. To tell a person ma'isa b'reishis, you can't. L'fikach sasach ha'kasa b'reishis bar lakim. V'kvahei rucha al yois elon yon iskarim stumais. What he did was he gave us words that mean one thing on one level and one thing on another level. So the people who are at a very basic level, very primitive level, understand it the way they understand it. And the person who is a shalom like a person has deep ravana, he is going to understand it in the way he should understand it. So it basically says the entire derech of Torah is a sort of double meanings. Everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us has a meaning on a simple level, and at least in a way that we can say those words and mean something when we share them with simple people, and then it means something much deeper for a different group of people. But let's take a simple thing, which is not what he's talking about, but just something simple. When you speak about the fire of Gehenim, so the fire of Gehenim, in its simple words, it conveys a very powerful tsar, a very powerful a destructive force, etc., which is what that means to simple people, and that's very, very true. For persons more subtle, the koach ha'esh may be the taking apart of something, and so on. And if that in his world evokes the same type of sense of tsar that this evokes in that world, then we have the right way of presenting it. So we're giving over the word fire, which means something in a very physical way to a simple person. It means something in a way that's me'ain of what it really, really means. And it can be understood with a lot of thought to what it should mean. It's saying it's true with Bereishis. So let's go to something like Bereishis. And the Drosh Ran asked this question. In science, if science is simply what mineral dissolves at what temperature by interacting with other mineral, it really has no shaychus, really. But the Rambam's understanding of nature and our understanding of, in a little bit of a different way, but is that the big inyanim in nature, the big klolim in nature, were part of a sort of philosophy. In other words, that everything revolves around a sun, that all planets revolve around a common sun. There's a mechanical aspect to it, just how, you know, Newtonian physics. And then there's an inyan that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a center with everything revolving around it. For us, the Shemesh rises in the Mizrach and sets in the West. All of those phenomena are part of a much bigger inyan, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu laid out the world in a certain way. And therefore, it's true at both levels. But when the Rambam was talking about the physical sciences, he means more the philosophy of the science than just simply the facts. If you need to dissolve X, what's a good solvent fit? That has nothing to do with what he's talking about. But he's talking about the bigger picture of it. So he says, "Ukvaya Adam Perish Mishnah." I already wrote in his Akdam Techelik, "Shanachnu Nevay in Yonim Zorim B'Seif Anevua B'Seif Hashva." That I will write a safe explaining Nevua, and a safe explaining the various drushes of Chazal that seem strange. For safer, you adnu shenevaya by sfeikas adrushes kulam, those Chazal that dash and psukim ashanirim and meruchik my remes, they look very far from emes. Yitzim derecha muskal, they don't seem to be reasonable. Veim kula mishalim, but they're all really mishalim. Vekashachilosis ashanim rabim asfarim kibatu ma'at. And as I sat and wrote these farim, lo yoshev beinenu mashechaz v'ra derechahi. I was very unhappy with the results of it. Why? If neshura inu, if I'm going to keep speaking with the same level of obfuscation that the Torah is speaking, then what did I do? I told everybody the problem is not x squared equals something. The problem is y squared equals something. What's the difference between x squared and y squared? What's the same thing? So I basically did not accomplish anything. Somebody was once telling me, like with a spilus, he was once sitting by the Ungarim in a sukkah, and the sukkah next to them was a Chabad family, and the father explained to the kid that sukkah is Pchinas Yaakov, which is Pchinas Tiferes, something like that. So the kid asked, what's Tiferes? So the father said, we don't know what Tiferes is, but we know that sukkah is Pchinas Tiferes. So the person who told me was kind of very nispoil. I told him, I don't get it. I mean, when you solve for X and you get a number, it's nice. But if X equals Y and Y doesn't equal anything else either, then what did you accomplish? If you tell me you have a problem saying what Sukkah is, now you tell me it's Pchinas Tiferes, but I don't know what Tiferes is. I mean, I don't figure out what the world. So Rama says, if I will keep faithful to Chazal and keep my Sefer as obscure as the Chazal, the Dashning, which is the right way to do it, then I haven't done anything. And if I try to explain it fully, he has a built-in nose by my name. It's not right because of my name. And he says, if one of those Rabbanim look at it, those people who take everything very simply and they don't have any problems with things that are just don't make sense. So he says, he doesn't have a problem with it. Somebody who doesn't understand things and he has just no other pre-knowledge, things that don't make sense, he has no problem with. In other words, he says things are impossible. So he's not having a problem with his Chazal. And if somebody, one of our people, is ma'ayin lo yimolot echad m'sheid for him. Im sheyikochem kimashmo'om v'yachshev ro ba'oymer v'yashvei l'sochol. And if somebody who is a chochem, if he hears it the way it is, and he says, whoever's saying the statement is an idiot, it can't be. So, and therefore, what he does is he disparages the statement, it shouldn't be a steerer to Yisrael Emuna. Or she yosin lem toich, ukva nitzel, v'yachshav toiv ala oimer, yispoil at toshvay mehuah lo yispoil. Or he may possibly give it some meaning, which the person will realize this is its real meaning, and he won't, he'll be fine with it. The omnom in a nevua, the uber malaseo perish mishle sifrea, yispoi vza maim of derech achman abir. So I have a different way of approaching it. Mipnei elu han yonim hinachti mechabash and asfarim kimashoyus, I dropped those two sfarim, the hispically mizichun yasoidus emuna kolamitis, the kitzer mazim craven labir, mashiskat vrivagod mishatera. So I left over some of the klolim of it, a little bit in Mishnah Torah, I gave some brief klolim, which would help a person understand what he says with Munar and how to deal with all the Pesukim Tanakh. And his basic issue, I mean, the one thing he speaks about in Mishnah Torah is all of those terms that seem to apply Kadosh Baruch Hu has a guf. Aval, Maima Hazeh, Devori iboy emission is falsafe, commercial zacharti, the other chakmazitis. This safe I'm writing for someone who has studied philosophy, understands Chachma, who maimel dvar Torah, and he's a maimon, novak ben yanim, but now he's confused. The all of these metaphors that the Torah uses has got him very, very confused. Behine, novi prokem za maima, shaloyabem zikon shema amishtativ, avia perikatzola zulosai. So he says, there will be prokem here that will not, you know, state which term I'm coming to define. But it's going, this perik is going to be a hakdama for another idea, and this is a necessary hakdama. So in other words, he's saying basically, my sefer is out there in order to understand the metaphors that Torah uses to describe very deep in Yanim. But so he has tons of prokem in the beginning, especially that are just kind of explaining different words, what they mean. It seemed, you know, quite straightforward. But he said there'll be many prokem that don't do that, and either they're a hakdama for something else, or oyia perikahuma oiral inyaminyane shemishtativ. Or I'm going to give you an insight into an understanding of different meanings without mentioning it outright for some reason. Or that perik is going to be explaining one of those mishalim in the Torah. Or yeah, haperik koilin yonim zarim, shemaminu hefcha emes. Or the perik will describe in Yonim that people believe that are wrong things, things that are not Torahic, but they believe them because of Shitza Shemus. So I may not be talking about the word that caused them to understand it, but I'm going to address Shitas Nashkafis that are dead wrong. Because people confuse the Nimshu with the Mashal. So he says over here, the Sefer is not going to be straightforward. I would have liked to make a Sefer that has all the Chazal and explain what they mean, all the Nevuahs and explain what they mean, but he felt it would be counterproductive. I will either be revealing things that shouldn't be revealed, or it's going to be just as difficult as the original. So instead of that, he is going to give you key definitions, understandings that when understood will help you understand many different difficult Chazal and so on. It is, the, like I said, like I mentioned in the earlier shurim, Moreh Nevuchim is an extraordinarily mixed sefer. It's so radically different. Everything else the Rambam did, the Rambam was dibur dibur lefanav. Everything was, you know, word by word by word. But tachlis, the sefer said it's deliberately so that if you don't get it, he's not putting it down on a plate for you. If you chop it, that means that it was bothering you, and you found it. If you don't have it, you know, go on. Everything that Chazal, if anything to understand in Nevi'im, in understanding anything about Kadosh Baruch Hu, requires a mashal. For yedata omri yisparach, ubiyar ha-nevi'im adame, v'yedata omri chud chidem shol mashal, v'yedata kemiroi v'aseis nevi'im misholim, omah ha-novi, heimo oimrim li ha-mamshul misholim hu. For yedata mashpasu ha-shleim alav mashal mlitzi li'vacham kidoisom. For omru b'medish lomai divetari doimim ha-shamat shleimoi, l'be'er shem ime amukim etzainim l'adha yochalishis mehem. Ma'asib keech echot, sipik chevel, b'chevel, mishichu, mishichu, b'dola, b'shasa. Ken ha'yashleima, mimosh le'mosh le'vadova, ch'am le'berish ha'tayim. So the Rambam brings a bunch of Mekairos here, that everything in the Torah is attained only through Mishalim. The inyan of it is, especially the last mashal over here, the Meimei Amukim Etzayinim, Rachlishim Hem, is central really to understanding not only him but understanding the concept even Chachmas Apnim. It's the same exact thing. anytime I want to take a concept that doesn't exist in my world, in your world, I exist in my world, but not in your world. A guy who never saw Jew before asks you, explain to me what learning Torah is all about. You can't do it straight out because there are no associative words to it. If someone asks you, LaMashal, you know, you're raving about somebody's cholent, what did it taste like? So you're going to look for things that we both have in common, and you're going to say it like this and like this. When it comes to ideas that I have no context for, what do? In other words, anything that's in Shemayim, we have no context for understanding it. So let's give a mashal. It's always good to explain mashalim through mashalim. It's a mashal squared. And let's understand it. Imagine somebody, Loleno, is blind, Rahman al-Islam, from birth. And he comes over and he says, tell me, what is this red and blue people talk about? What's the difference between red and blue? So at first hand, I mean, impossible, not Shaya. So what do? I say, listen, you have a sense called hearing. And music is one of the things you hear. Yeah, of course, he hears music. And different music puts you in different moods, right? So you hear, let's say, rap or rock and roll, and it makes you kind of get up alive and jump, and it's me'orer a certain sense of heated up. Now you hear classical music. And what does that make you feel? Tranquil, sleepy, drowsy, whatever. However, describe it in whatever language you want to. But that's the way you explain it. So we have our senses. The same thing, let me ask you, touch. Here's sandpaper, what does it feel like? And here's velvet. Now there's another sense that you have no shaykhis to. But it's me'orer feelings the way touch does. And the way music does. The red is a type of seeing it that's more a sense in a passionate way. And blue is something that gives over a sense of tranquility. So what I have done in this mashal is I've moved an idea from one frame of reference. I've put that idea into a different frame of reference, which is shayach to him. Rabbi Shapiro once said that the word pirush is miloshen lifroish, to go away from, because what I'm doing when I'm explaining something is I'm moving away from the original into a different place. I mean, when we speak, I'm being mefaris something means I'm taking something that you're not familiar with, and I'm moving the ideas into the realm of things that you are familiar with. That's what a pirush is. So, mashal is really the yesod of the havana of all things that are pnimis. It's sort of like what's like with a pair of tongs that I can grab something hot I can't touch myself. It's like a microscope. So, and this is true in the world of Kabbalah, 100%. LeMashal, if I speak about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, Hanhagis, what am I supposed to say? Describe them. Describe them as they are. I don't have any sense, any physical sense that picks up that. My eyes don't see it, my ears don't hear it, my nose doesn't smell it. What am I going to talk about? I'm going to sound like a teenager. It's like, and I'm going to be stuck because I have nothing to be mashayach to. So what I do is I take something that serves as the structure is the same, even though the envelope is different. So I speak about Yemin and Smol, Mala Mata, 10 spheres. I speak about Yadayim, Raglayim. All of those means I take the Panimius and I move it into a shell that is part of my frame of reference. And now I have a certain Tfisa. So I don't actually have a grasp on what Ruchnis is, the way the blind person would not have a grasp on what a color is. But I can do some useful stuff with it. So let's go back to the blind person. The blind person knows now that a bedroom, you don't paint bright red unless you want to be up all night. It's not the right color. Blue would be a nicer color. A discotheque might look lovely in bright red if you want to get the island very, that's a bright red. But so the person knows nothing about, he doesn't be'etzim have a tfis in it, but he has a tool to make it useful. That's the way Kabbalah understands it. That's what Rambam understands it in his world. It's the same thing. These are musagim that we take, and that's exactly the lashon he uses over here. He says, "Be'er shemei me'a mukim etzaynim, lo'y hoya adam yochalishes mehem, ma'ase pikeach echad, sipek chevel bechevel, meshich meshich of dal v'shasa." You take a rope to a rope, you tie a piece to a piece to a piece, you keep moving it in a series of steps from one world to another world, and now you have a tfis on it. Ve'eni roe she'ech m'shem adas yachshev, ki divra teira romaz lehem heina, asher herim b'avonosim mehovin yonai m'sholim, hei mishpate asi asuke v'lula v'dina v'shem v'gamen. No one imagines that I'm talking about sukkah, lulav, and so on, that requires that type of vineyard. Avla kavona hi avonas hamukus vastumus blay safik. So all these chazal that speak about mashal melitza, maya divitur daimim, and so on and so forth, we're not talking about a chazal describing Baba Kama here. It can't be. That's not the type of thing. So we're talking about inyanim pnimim in Torah that are be'etzim of a different order than these Divrei Torah, and for that you need mashal. So we have all these chazal telling you that mashal is the methodology of Torah when it comes to all these things. V'sham nema Rabbana Amri ze shehu me'abed sela or magal ser pesei. The person lost a large sum of money or a diamond in his house. Ad shumad the psila be'isa moitzes magalis. He strikes a match for a penny, and with that he finds the diamond. So the match itself is worthless, but without it you don't find the diamond. So here also you need something to enlighten you to the diamond. Kacha mosha ze ine klum, while there are mosha ze te royas di betera. Ze dvarim gamke, vizbeinin beuram zal ki toichus di betera magolius. So the pshuta of the mashal is all it is a tool to help you understand it. So Ram adds a knetch here. That's a very, very beautiful knetch. Let's give a mashal first, and then we'll imagine somebody is a simple person. He has what he has, and that's it. He has what he needs, and so on. So is this person a wealthy man? No. Let's say this person found a bag of diamonds worth millions and millions of dollars. He doesn't know that they're diamonds. He thinks these are paperweights. I don't know if people know what paperweights was when you used to keep a stack of paper on your desk. Instead of a computer, you needed things to keep them down. So paperweights are found nice little seashells, nice little rocks, the worth of Shava Pruto, so, and you put them down. And so the person thinks these are paperweights. And he uses those paperweights. So in his house, he now has tens of millions of dollars worth of diamonds. And he's totally no idea that he has it. Is he a wealthy man or is he not a wealthy man? So the answer is probably the IRS thinks he's a wealthy man, but he's not. He doesn't have this because the fact that it's technically in his house doesn't mean anything. So the person himself is really, really doesn't possess it until he doesn't realize that he possesses it. And so the Rambam says, Mishnah Haras Beisav Vebayis Ofel Vebolum Vyeshuk Haram Vina Magolis Bebayis Ofel El Shulo Yer Enev Leidaba Ukila Yotze Meshusay. It's practically speaking, he doesn't possess it. He never had a ta'alto. So if a person has Divrei Torah, and he has, when a person has a chumash, he has everything in the world, every chachma, every nekuda in the world, he has. But lemaisa, because he doesn't understand any of it, he really doesn't have it. He has it in a theoretical way, in a potential way, he doesn't have it. So the mashal itself is really with has very little substance to it, and yet it is something which is a which gives you insight into so much more. As soon as you open up a person's mind to understanding a certain level of oimek, of amkus, then a whole world comes to him. The Gemara has this lesson sometimes. He loved the Dalina Lecha, Chaspa, Magnisa, Mikomotsis. If I wouldn't, what happens is you'll have, the Gemara will bring a Shaila Nekuda, and then there'll be a, and he'll say the point, and he'll, his rebuttal will be, if I hadn't pointed the way to you, you never would have found it. So it's like sometimes somebody once said a very nice Hagdara. He says, He could write every kasha v'kiveiga on Shas, but only after he sees the star. In other words, once, if he sees the star in the Gemara, he thinks and says, this is what he's asking. Because once somebody points it out to me and says, here there's a problem, then it's much easier to get it. So also in the world of Chachma, this is much stronger. So when a person has a mashal, the mashal points the inyan to him, and then the person is able to work with it. Okay, we'll hold it here. Now we're up to Tepuch Hazav Maskias Kesef. I don't know. I have markers in different places. So I thought I'd put it in order. Any questions? Any points? Anything? Anyone wants to say something?
Whoever is on the phone can unmute himself by pressing *6.
Is the Rambam's definition of Chacham HaSateva, which I think Rabbi was defining as like philosophical perspective on science, is Toru Mada the same thing, or is Toru Mada, is that the same idea,
or is
that a different idea?
Well, the big problem whenever you take things like that is who gets to define what Torah Mada is. Some people define Torah Mada as a co-ed camp. You know, it's problematic. It's like someone, I was once in my day, somebody asked me about Zionism. I said, who gets to define that term? Torah Mada is more a social process where people felt there's a lot to be gained from the culture around you in two reasons. First of all, it genuinely adds to understanding. It's good. And it's very important to be able to function society at large. Torah Mada is a social trend. It's how should we look as a society? Hard to say that it's a deep philosophy. It's more of a trend of what's the balance between Torah, learning other things, and so on. I have a very simple raya for it. That is, so if let's say Torah Mada was a real philosophy, then the curriculum of the yeshiva university's university would be sat down by all the rashivas, the Taramada people, and decide which is the oimik hachachman mada that's giving us the extra mada that we need. That's not how it's made. You know, they look over their shoulder what Harvard is doing, and they try to imitate something of it, and they look over their shoulder what this school is doing, they imitate. It's more of a keeping up with the Jones, which is, it is a pragmatic approach, but it's not a deep philosophical approach. It's a general sense of where does the personal balance lay in. So the Rambam wasn't into Aristotle because he felt, because it was current or in vogue. There were other philosophers, plenty of other philosophers in vogue that the Rambam just brushes aside as being worthless or whatever. He felt Aristotle gave a structure, and he did. Aristotle was very structured, and the points that he put into place are real, and they're emes. He stopped midway, and anything after a certain point, he messed up. But I need to follow it. But very different. That he wasn't. He didn't look around and see what's popular.
So Rav Hirsch or Rav Soloveitchik, their perspectives would probably be more nuanced. Would they be closer to the Rambam, or are they still different?
So, the answer would be very possibly yes. I don't know. You know, it's hard to tell. But both of them definitely had a very positive sense of chachma. They were both real chachamim. Reb Shamsher Fol Hirsch, interestingly enough, was also very big kanoi. Together he if anything that he admired in the world around, he felt must be incorporated, and things he felt were wrong, felt, you know, should be destroyed. There's a letter that Gretz studied with him. Gretz spent a few years in his house studying with him. So he writes that they would study Greek together, study philosophy, they study Tillin, they study Paiska. Whole, you know, you'd say Seder Yom is not your typical yeshivish Seder Yom, that could be said. But he said there was a certain book, I don't remember offhand, a philosopher, that Shan Farish started reading it, and he said, this is real kfir, we must burn it. And he protested that. He said, it belongs to the library. So he said, fine, we'll burn it and we'll pay the library for it. But a safe like this can't exist. He didn't accept the world's opinion of what's right and what's wrong. He had his own opinion. And he felt, you know, and anything that I felt was wrong, he was a very, very big kanoi, Reb Shamsher Fol Hirsch. In this inyan, he felt strongly that understanding the world around is part and parcel of Torah. He did. And Reb Soloveitchik, also for him, it was a broadening of horizons. But, you know, down deep, I can only judge from things I've heard and seen, and I did hear him twice. He more or less used the vocabulary a lot more. It's hard to say he bought into the ideas as much as he bought into the categorizations. It gave him a tremendous tool for being able to describe really Torah in other ways. That's really what you get out of it. He never the type of language that, well, this is the Hegelian and this is that. Or something he wouldn't, he never spoke like that. What he did do was he had an extraordinary vocabulary. A vocabulary, I mean, terminology that he had, because he saw the model of terminology as philosophers used, he built a contemporary Torah vocabulary, categorizations. And that's what I could describe it.
Is it a true statement to say about the Shamsher Fol that he brought Torah to the mother world, not the opposite?
It's certainly two things. Certainly, the practical audience that he was dealing with were people that were gone, and he was bringing Torah to them. In other words, would he have he certainly held of it, but would he, had he been in Hungary, would he have made yeshivas that have limurei chol? I don't know the answer to that. And no one knows the answer to that. But it's not at all clear where he was going to Germany, where nobody knew anything. The kids didn't know anything. And he created a school that had some limurei kodesh in it and a very religious structure. So in terms of his meisim, it certainly all we know is this direction. We don't know what would have been this case otherwise. He certainly himself believed that there's a lot, there is what to be gained, and you know, strongly so from other ideas, understandings, well, knowledge. He writes very strongly in one of his letters that we're fools that we think that by isolating our children we can protect them from the world around. It's not going to work, and we need instead to give them a very healthy perspective, a Yiddishkeit perspective. So that was true about that. You know, he himself had been hungry, himself had seen Rabbanim that were not learning. I don't think, you know, he expressed himself. He definitely did have a Zika and felt it's a very important part of the puzzle. But would he have gone to it? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. No one knows. So. Okay. Good. Good Shabbos.
Shabbos.
Shabbos, thank you.